Message number 6 on the first epistle of John. Beloved radio friends, we greet you in the ever precious and the worthy name of the Lord Jesus. This is your Bible teacher of the air speaking, J.W. Bramhall, coming to you with a continued commentary on the first epistle of John. Today we commence the second chapter in this letter, that wonderful family letter that God has written through his servant John to the children of God in his family. Let us ever remember the two great divisions that we have suggested within this epistle. Chapter 1 and 2, we find that the Father and his family are considered. Then when we shall reach chapters 3 through 5, the rest of the book, we shall consider the Father and his family within the world. The early section sets before our hearts the great privilege of our fellowship as God's children and the joy of it with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We who are the children of God, having been saved by grace through faith in the Lord Jesus, should always be concerned about maintaining that fellowship in unbroken communion with the Father and the Son. There are two special privileges by which we may do it. First, we should always be enjoying and meditating upon the Father's Word, the precious truth of the Word of God abiding within our hearts. Then second, we should be always prayerful, praying in the Spirit to that same blessed Father, having a life of dependence in prayer upon him. In other words, through the Word of God, the Father communicates his thoughts and his desires to us. And then in and through prayer, we are able to communicate our thoughts and desires to his blessed heart. May God help us to do these constantly. Now there is one thing that we have learned from verses 5 through 10 in chapter 1, that it was impossible to enjoy fellowship with God when sin is permitted in our conduct and our walk. Sin committed by a Christian will spoil the fellowship, though it can never and will never sever the relationship of God the Father from his child. The first two verses of chapter 2, closely tied to the end of chapter 1, we noted that John dealt with the problem of sin in relation to the life of a child of God. Now in verses 1 and 2, we find John writing and saying, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." Now let us first take notice of the apostle's manner in writing. He addresses his words in great tenderness, gentleness, and patience towards the children of God. Literally, John says, "My dear children," which is a favorite expression of the apostle repeated in this epistle. John was an aged teacher by this time when he wrote the letter, but he evidently remembered that his Lord had also addressed the apostles in the same manner as it is recorded in John 13 and verse 33. "My little children," or meaning "my dear children." Following the words of chapter 1 in regard to sin, to prevent any discouragement or any carelessness about it in the hearts of the children, John tells why he has thus written. Literally, he says, "My little children, these things I am writing to you in order that you may not commit an act of sin." John regards sin in a believer's life not as habitual in practice, but as very exceptional and infrequent. Then he states the divine provision that the Christian has in such cases when he or she may commit an act of sin. If any man commit an act of sin, we have an advocate with the Father. When a believer is guilty of this, let him not, or let her not, lose heart and despair. Though we know our advocate, the Lord Jesus, will never plead that we are innocent, neither will he excuse us because of extenuating circumstances. He will acknowledge the guilt that is ours, but he will present to the Father his vicarious atoning work of the cross as the ground of our forgiveness and acquittal. My fellow Christian, your Savior and my Savior constantly is standing in the court of heaven as a lamb as if it had been just slain, and when the devil, our accuser, may point the finger of blame at you and me, the marks of the Savior's sacrifice that he still wears are a conclusive evidence and an eloquent appeal before the Father on your behalf and mine. Virtually the Savior extending those wounded hands before the throne of his Father could say, I suffered and died for this, my child and thine. He or she is under the shelter and the abiding continual cleansing of my precious blood. But then let us remember that if we have been saved by his precious blood, that we should indeed be reminded that we are able to keep from sinning. And when we do sin, my fellow Christian, let us also remember we wound the tender heart of our beloved Savior, and we compel him to face God the Father about his child, the one whom he has saved, on the behalf of the sin committed. Beloved, let me say, that I say it to my conscience and heart, as well as to your own, as a child of God, let us ever remember, when we who are his children may commit an act of sin, are we not again wounding the blessed Savior, who upon the cross of Calvary was wounded for our transgressions? But then let us notice the name of the advocate as John describes it. It is Jesus Christ the righteous, the only righteous one who is separate from sin, for no better advocate could we ever find. And John further declares, he is the propitiation for our sins. And this, he also is for a world of sinners. For when he died upon the cross, he died not only for our sins who had trusted him, but he died for the sins of the whole world. But here is a wonderful truth. Our blessed Savior has satisfied the demands of a holy and righteous God by his vicarious atonement upon the cross. The word propitiation could be translated, he is the satisfaction for our sins. Oh, my fellow believer, take in the precious truth. Christ is the satisfaction to God's heart on the behalf of your sins and mine. And the judgment and the holiness of God has thus been vindicated in respect to sin when Christ became the sacrifice for you and for me. But then may I also be reminding my fellow listeners who may not be saved, he died for you. For he paid the penalty for sin with his own precious blood and the giving of his life. Propitiation means, again, let me repeat, that Christ has provided a satisfaction to God on the behalf of sinners, and a holy and a righteous God is able to bestow mercy upon a believing sinner on the basis that God's justice has now been satisfied through the atoning death of His Son on the cross. And so for the unfortunate sin of a believer, Christ is still our propitiation, and the saint, though he may find and she may find himself having to confess the guilt of committing a sin, yet the saint can still say, Christ himself is my satisfaction, meeting my need even as a sinning saint before the Father in heaven above. And what abundant grace, and what a perfect provision is this. But again, we would reemphasize in the closing moments that John has not only declared Christ the satisfaction or propitiation for the unfortunate sin that may be committed by God's children, but that he also is for the whole world. We repeat with joy, the death of Christ has satisfied God's justice on the behalf of all the world, if only they will accept what Christ has done. Christ's propitiatory sacrifice has absolute efficacy for the whole world, and no single person can ever say or even think that the Lord died only for Peter, for John, for Paul, and so on, and say not for me. My radio friend, I know that he died for me. I have believed it, and he has saved me. Yet I have complete confidence to say that he also died for you. My radio listener unsaved, will you not accept the Lord Jesus Christ for your propitiation, for your personal Savior today? And will you not do it right now? Shall we pray? Blessed Father, will thou not sanctify to the hearts of thy dear children the precious truth, and also sanctify and use it for the salvation of some blessed sinner? We ask in the Savior's name. Amen.